Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre Eaton.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And here we are at Cowboy Church, right here on our home station, RFD-TV. And what a proud thing we are of being on RFD.
You know, it's a privilege to be here.
Mm-hmm. Because your sermon today is so specific towards farmers and ranchers, horsemen, people that train cows, people that train dogs.
It happens.
Sheep, everything, yeah. You know,
our culture, we try mm-hmm. to train everything.
Right.
You know, can't make pets, yeah, that's the hardest. But what came to me is so many times in dealing with horses that I learned what I was going through by watching what the horse is going through. Mm-hmm. And I learned what he was going through by experiencing what I went through. And so many times I have to look at that horse and I have to go apologize to God.
Yeah. you know? Right.
Yeah.
Well, you made him. Yeah. You made him who he is.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And we're going to go through some processes today about how we as humans need to submit.
Sure.
And then next week we're going to talk about commit.
Yeah.
And you're going to use that analogy, not specifically on people, but how you train a horse.
Well, yeah. Well, it's how I train a horse, but specifically it is on people. it is what we go to.
Yeah. And it's a good analogy.
Well, there's so many times in church that we look for one thing. We look for somebody to pray the prayer. They get saved and we've done our part.
Yes.
But really, That's like having a baby and telling them when they're a week old, okay, you're here. I've done my part. Go get a job.
Exactly.
And you learn that from living in the kind of lifestyle we mm-hmm. have with the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the world we live in, with ranching and farming and that sort of thing. There's a practicality that brings us to where it's kind of a more authentic, I think, approach to our walk with God.
Exactly. It's like Trevor Brazil's parents having him and say, okay, here's your arena. Yeah. You know, here it is. Yeah. But unless Jimmy had gotten out there, nothing would have happened with it.
Exactly.
You know, someone had to provide the steers, the calves, the everything, the horses, and it, or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you just gave him entry fee, that's not enough.
That's not enough. You got to give him tools. Well, we're here on Cowboy Church today, and Russ is going to speak, and it's going to be a two-part series, okay? You've got to stick with both of them because you could be submitted, but you got to commit. So you got to stay around for next week also right here on RFD-TV. So sit back, relax, and we're going to Cowboy Church after I sing a song.
Okay, there was rodeo, and when we were on the rodeo circuit, we would always go in a car most of the time before they really pulled trailers and pickups. So their mom and daddy had four young kids. She had four kids in 5 years, okay? My older sister was five when I was born, so mama had her hands full. So as we sat in the back seat of that car, my mama would teach us how to sing so that we would not bother each other and fight and bother daddy. Now daddy had the mechanism. If his hand got up here on the back of the front seat, you better start shutting up. Have you noticed that kids don't get little tools like that anymore? You know, there it is. They just get louder. We got very quiet. If it dropped, it was like God parting the Red Sea. And you fought for the sides because he couldn't reach you there. And if he ever got a hunk of your leg, you were in trouble. But we learned really, really quick to obey. So that's how we started singing. And as we grew up and went to many different plays, and we sang in the bars and the honky-tonks, and then I started singing Christian music in 1984. But this is a song that I adapted to our family, and it kind of tells a little bit of a history of our family. When Reba got a part in the Christmas play, though she only had one song to sing, Mama spent all day and called the family together. And when Daddy lost it all in a cattle deal, everybody knew we couldn't pay our bills. We never missed a meal. We called the family together. We ate a lot of mountain oysters.
Family's there to cheer us on or catch us when we fall. They may not have all the answers, but they'll be there when you call.
Like when Allison Roberts' dog named Jake ate his way through the wedding cake. We had an all-night bake with all the family together. And when Alice's baby fought for her life, until we knew she'd be alright, we prayed all night and called the family together. 'Cause family's there to cheer us on. And some remain, but by and by we'll meet again. Some sweet day, all the family together. And when the wheels of time are standing still, and the Father's house is finally built, the good Lord will call his family together. Digger, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or what, we're all going to be together. Amen?
Thank you, Lord, that we can see you in all your glory here in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Thank you, Jesus.
Johnny's mom also had to play daddy, a challenge so many have in life. From packing lunch and combing hair, brushing teeth and bedtime prayers, she only had time for one man in her life. Well, she dressed him for church Christmas morning, a place they hadn't been since he was two. And he ran out of Sunday school talking about the golden rule and said, Mom, I think I found someone for you. He's good with kids, he plays in dirt, and he helps people when they hurt. He don't throw stones, he likes to fish, and he climbs trees. Just what we've been praying for. He said, there's more, Mom, I talked to my teacher. He's got a good job working for his dad. He doesn't drink, he doesn't swear, he doesn't hit, so don't be scared. Bad things will turn out like they always have. He's good with kids, he plays in dirt, and he helps people when they hurt. He don't throw stones, he likes to fish, and he climbs trees. Just what we've been praying for. Mom, every word he said
blazing dirt, and he helps people when we eat. He don't throw stones, he likes to fish, and he climbs trees, and who could ask for more? He's just what we've been praying for.
That takes up that slack. He's the one who's there when everybody has left you. He can be that father, he can be that mother, he can be that husband, he can be the wife, and he's certainly our very best friend. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm excited about today because this is Cowboy Church, and at Cowboy Church, I always feel like it's kind of a special day when we get to talk about horse training. There's so many times in training horses that I learn things about myself that God's teaching me. And today, I just kind of went over a top to bottom. And I realize that I'm probably not the, well, no question, I'm not the best horse trainer in the world for sure. I have had the privilege of hanging around some of the best. I'm really proud of my son who trains team roping horses, Jordan. He trained the head and horse of the year in 23 that Lightning Aguilera rides. And so I've been around horses enough to know when people are really good at training them. I got to travel all one summer doing the church services for those John Lyon symposiums, the horse whisperer thing when it got to going years ago. And I'm really good friends with John. And I love horse training. And here's the reason why, is that when I get a chance to train horses and work with horse trainers, There's a certain thing that happens, and I begin to understand myself as I operate in the hands of God as the ultimate trainer. So I just want to read a verse of scripture to kick us off here. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is dealing with his disciples. Verse 24 says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will gain it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul?'" I think we need to pray about this one. Our Heavenly Father, today we pray about this message. And Lord, I pray that this would be a message for us that would challenge our hearts so that we would be completely and fully submitted and committed to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message today is Fully Submitted or Completely Committed, or how about both? Fully submitted, completely committed. Let's look at submission first. The submission is this by definition, so we know what we're talking about. It's an act of submitting to the authority or control, or the control to another. It's the act of submitting to the authority or control of another. That's a better way to put it. Submission is an interesting thing and the Bible challenges us in Ephesians 5:21. It said, "Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ." In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." So in this game of submission, submission is the first two parts of a horse training. And I'm going to go over these parts for a two-part message here. It's going to be surrender is step A. Confidence is the second step. Trust would be the third step. And then the fourth step is action. And I like it when we get to the action. So the steps are this. surrender. And let's go to the first step of surrender. I was messing. I've got a 2-year-old. It's been to Jeff Williams, and I got him home, and he's still young, so I just turned him out for a while. He can grow up a little bit, but every once in a while he's still at the stage where sometimes he thinks maybe he should be in charge of our relationship, you know. And the other day, my son comes by, Jordan comes by, and he goes, "Dad," he said, "would you let anybody just come up to you and waller you around in Walmart?" And I said, "I don't think so." And he said, "Why are you letting that horse do that?" And I like this horse so well. He's such a nice, friendly guy that I realized that I had kind of just let him start wallering me around. What he's trying to do, he's trying to determine if he's in charge or if I'm in charge. And so the first thing has to happen to that colt is he has to understand that I'm in charge of him. And the first thing that we do in our walk with God, the greatest thing we can do is to understand that God really is in charge. He's not just in charge of us. He's in charge of everything. He's the owner, creator, establisher of the universe and all of its laws. All the laws of nature are not Mother Nature. They're God ordained. And God's in charge of all of it. And so the smartest thing for us to do is just surrender to him. You know, you're the one who created me. You're the one that set me in place. You're the one that knows exactly what I'm supposed to be when I get big. See, with this young horse, the reason I like him so well is he's a half brother to my good heel horse. And genetics has something to do with this. And in his genetics, in my thinking, his genetics is set up to be a great heel horse because his half brother is a really, really nice heel horse. And I love this horse. And so I was excited to be able to get this younger horse that was related to my good horse. And so I planned, and looked for a way to find another horse that was bred just like my good horse. And I found him. Because of that, I've kind of let him waller on me a little bit. So I've had to go back and I've made sure that he has to keep a little bit of distance. Just not this close, this close. It's good for him, unless I say, come closer, that's not his job to decide how close we walk together. That I'm in charge of the walk, he has to stay this far away from me. Don't push on me, don't waller me. I'm in charge here. And you, as the horse instead of the person, you are to submit and surrender to my authority. When they start a colt, first thing they do, they put them in a round pen, chase them around, scare them, until that colt turns. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and that horse turns and submits to the one that's in charge. What he's doing is he is in the act of surrender. He's surrendering. He's surrendering his will. And when we commit our life to Christ, when we kneel before God and we ask Jesus, come into my heart for whatever reason, for the frustration and hurt and all the stuff that goes on, or if we just realize God is God and I want to make sure that everything's okay between me and him, for whatever reason, when we submit to God, what we are is we are broke. And I don't mean that in terms of financially deficit. I mean that our will and the start of our next existence has been broken. The direction that we were headed is broken. The path that we were on is broken. And we, our spirit is broken and submitted. And we begin the submission process to God. Doesn't mean we're fully trained. Just because you prayed the prayer, just because you got baptized, just because you had communion, doesn't mean that you're fully submitted to God. It means that you've started and we're really proud of you. We're really proud of you. But God has got a lot more for us than just being surrendered and broke to ride. Man, God wants us to actually experience a lot more than that. And there are reasons why. It's not because we're beat, but because we have trusted in or surrendered our life to Christ. In Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. This is a transitional verse of scripture that requires two things. It requires the surrender. We know that all things work together for good. So we surrender to that, to God. God, you know all things work together. You show me what you want to show me, and I will follow that. To those who are called, that means the ones who have committed their life to Christ, who have submitted to saddling, who are now in a point where they don't buck, but really we don't know anything yet. The second step has to do with being trained. Being trained, what happens when you begin to train? Jeff told me this. He'd ridden him for about a month, month and a half, maybe right at 2 months. And he said, you know, all I've done is ride him. I haven't asked for his face yet. And you might not know what that means. He said, I haven't asked for his face. Well, what it means when he asks for a horse's face is he begins to pull the bit up to get the horse's head going up and down, straight up and down, instead of hanging out like this. Because if you look at a horse's anatomy, when he throws his head out, his shoulder drops, and it's hard for him to operate the way he should. So they want a horse to be collected. And the where it starts is they pull his face in, his head's up and down straight. That lifts his shoulders up. And when it lifts his shoulders up, it allows his rear end to be under him a little bit better. You know who all does that? Every horseman does that. You know the reason why? Is because when a horse is fully collected, he can run faster. And when a horse is fully collected, he can stop better. In the rodeo world, we want our horse to be able to run fast, run flat, be able to turn the corners and stop, and then be in a place where they can back up. So all of that requires that a horse be collected so that when we begin to get in their face, all we're doing is we're asking for a little more surrender so that we can begin to do the training part so we can get what we need out of them later on down the road. Now, an interesting thing that I've discovered is in Romans chapter 12, it talks about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our reasonable service is to allow ourselves to be collected for God to be able to set our face and set our direction and direct our paths so that we can be able to do what God has in mind for our life when He created us.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.